Bisman hazeh, the only thing we have the ability to do on Yom Kippur is to observe the Hamisha Inuyim and the Tfilis and so on, but we don't have the bulk of the Mesech Tiyum as a description of the Avodah, the way the special Karbonos were brought. So the Chacham points out the Pasuk, you know, the Neshama points to Atenu, that at the time that we're unable to actually bring the Karbonos, at least we should talk about the Karbonos. And it's considered as if we have at least a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah. Neshama Pari, the same. By learning the dinim, we yotze a little bit. So I thought maybe I'll go through some of the inyanim of the Seder HaAvodah. The Gemara points out that the korbanot that were brought on Yom Kippur are mentioned in two different sections in the Chumash. One is in Parshas Pinchas, where it lists off all of the musafim to meet him. Every day you bring a talmish of shachat, talmish of bein avayim, so that we know. And then you bring musafim on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov and Chalamot, you bring musafim. So there's a list of several korbanot that were brought on Yom Kippur as musafim. Then in Parshas Achrimais, the Torah Machtach Nish listened from all the korbanot that are mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. A different listing of korbanot, not on Yom Kippurim, not because it's a Yom Kudosh, but in order to acquire a kapara, in order to get the Mechilas HaAvayim. And the Karbonis are different Karbonis. So the Gemara assumes that it's two different sets of Karbonis. You have the Avodas HaYom, Avodas Yom Kippurim is an Achrei Mois, and that says the Pharisee that you need a Kohen Gadol for that. That says an Achrei Mois, Aaron HaKohen, or HaKohen Hashiyah Tachta Libano, the one is appointed Bimkoim Aaron HaKohen. And then in Parshas Pinchas, it doesn't say you need a Kohen Gadol. It just says these are the Tmidim and Musafim, bring the regular Tmidim and bring the Musafim. So in the Mishnah, it says you need a Kohen Gadol for everything that you bring on Yom Kippur. Everything, even the Talmud Shal Shachat, Talmud Shal Bein Abayim. The Rishonim already questioned the Ritva, the Kesa Mishnah quotes the Ritva. It's very unusual. Kesa Mishnah quotes the Ritva on Yuma, the Ritva on Yuma, that he's not so convinced that this is all their right, that you need a Kohen Gadol for everything. And the Chumash only says, the Avodas HaYom and Yom Kippur to the Talmud also need it. Talmud is Zachar. Today you also bring a Talmud. Tomorrow you also bring a Talmud. So the Talmud of Yom Kippur also needs the Kohen Gadol. So he's not so, he thinks that a lot of the requirement of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is only with the Rabban. Mishnah says you need the Kohen Gadol, but it's not all Minat Torah. A lot of it is with the Rabban. That's a Shaila on Yom Kippur. Taka the Kohen Gadol, Halacha Maaseh, Kohen Gadol did everything. He ran the whole show. Nobody had a chance to do anything because the second Perek in Yom Kippur is dedicated to the institution of payosis. We used to have a payos, a hadrola, to determine which kohen had the kohanim come to the Beis Hamikdash, and everybody wants to have a schus to participate in hakrovas and kavanas to do the avodah, so they may kill each other. And the Mishnah says it happened that they killed one of them, killed the other one. They were running to do the shechitas hatomim. And the one who lost had a knife, so he stabbed the other one. He killed him in the Beis HaMikdash because he was so upset that he lost his chus to bring the Karbonos. So he instituted a pious to determine in an orderly fashion who has the chus to be makar of the Karbonos. So this Geit Avek, a whole perek, all about the payosis, arba payosis, there were four payosis every day to determine different aspects of the Aveda. So this appears in Maseches Yuma. Comes the Baal HaMor on the bottom of the riff, and he says that the Paitonim who compose the Seder Avodah that we say, whether you say Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfar, there's some differences between the Nusach Ashkenaz, but this Kuli Alma Lo Pligi, that on Yom Kippur there were also four Paiyosis, the different parts of the Avodah were not done by the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol did 96% of the Avodah, and there were four things that were left out that were done by Kohen Hed. Every day, everything was done by Kohanim Hed Yoitim. And everything, Kohen Gadol didn't do anything every day. The Kohanim Hed Yoitim did everything. And on Yom Kippur, there were four payasas. That's what it says in all of the payasas, in all the piyutim, in all the scores of the Seder Avodah. So the Baal HaMor says they all made a mistake, and there were no payasas
on Yom Kippur.
There were no payasas on Yom Kippur. Because the Mishnah say, Yidim and Atarim and the Rabban doesn't make any difference, but Lamais, the bottom line, the Kohen Gadol ran the whole show, and he did everything from A to Z, no exception to the rule. So the Ramban takes issue, that's the first Melchamish in the Mesichta, he disagrees with the Baal HaMor. The fact that his main kash is, that what is Perek Sheni doing in Maseches Yuma? If the four payasas were only the other 353 days a year, and on Yom Kippur there was no. to put it in Mishnah. He's tummy. Somewhere else. Yes, welcome. But what is it doing over here in humans? So it's mashma for the Mishnah is that they were payasas on Yom Kippur also. That's his taina against the Bible. And then he goes with a sharp lashon. He says, all of Rabbi Lezer, our color in the Goyim and the Chachma, Yeshivas and Rabbani Sfar, the Achronim, the only one who knew the truth, only Lebal Amor Azel, Levadon Nitna HaChochma, the only Chochma in the Ganza Zelt is the Bal Amor, the Ein Lezari Mitoy. Nobody else shared the Chochma, only the Bal Amor knows the secret, and everybody wrote the Payosas. I'm saying, what are you talking about? Everybody made a mistake. It has to be, there must be that it does make sense. So he says, Perek Sheni and Yume talked about payosas. On Yom Kippur, they didn't have the same four payosas that they had every day. True. The four payosas that are described in the Mishnah did not take place on Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. It says, who's going to shech the Talmud Shalshach? Who's going to be marked to the Torah? That was all done by the same book. But he says, if the institution of payosas didn't take place at all on Yom Kippur, so the whole Perek is totally out of place. It's totally out of context. Must be that on Yom Kippur, there were also four payosas on four little aspects. And he goes through what they were. And he explains why these were exceptions to the rule. It says the Trumas Adeshin, that's the first one for us. Trumas Adeshin is done every day, but the Shechita Satamin is also done every day in Anyam Kippur, Nidik and Gom. So he says the Trumas Adeshin is done at midnight, Anyam Kippur. It's done at Chatzai, because there's so much work to do later on, so you want to get the Trumas Adeshin out of the way. So he says Trumas Adeshin is Avodas Halayla, so the job of the Kangoro, the function of the Kangoro doesn't begin yet. So he says that's within all the in this chos atfila, that's the Pais Arishon with me mayor and Mitzadeshon, who's going to do the Trumas Hadesh. And then he goes out to explain similarly the Hoytoas Hadeshon from the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Trumas Hadeshon was a mitzvah to take off from the Mizbeach HaChitzon and put it on the floor, and he used to be Nidlabim Kom, he used to swallow it up, Alpines. And then there's a din, you have to clean out the Mizbeach HaPnimi, so he says that's only Midirabbanon, it's not really an Avodah, it's not a positive Avodah, just to clean off, in order to make the Mizbech HaPnimi clean in order to be makta the Torah today, so that doesn't need a Kohen Gadol either. Lamaisa they had a pais, and he says, me midashin is a menorah, also to clean out the menorah, true, it's an avoida, dishin a menorah is an avoida, but just to clean out, it's not to do positive, so he says, the cleaning out, that was done by Kohen Hedya. It's the main mitzvah may not be done by a zar, you mean. The Rambam says the hadlokim may be done l'chatchila by a non-koyin. Not the main thing. The main thing is the hadlokim, but he says the hadlokim itself is not an avodah, doesn't require a koyin. And the hatovah, the cleaning out, does require a koyin. So the Ramban explains fine. The Ramban happens not to agree with that Rambam, but he says even if you agree with that Rambam, it still doesn't require the Kohen Gadol. The Hatava, the cleaning out, doesn't require the Kohen Gadol. Whoever is Medash in the menorah, that can be done by Kohen Hedya. Isn't Avaida, can be done by Kohen Hedya. The filling up of the cup and the putting in of the wick, that was done by the Kohen Gadol. That says the Farish in the Mishnah. But the removing of the old wick and the leftover from last night, he says that can be done by Kohen Hedya. So that's, so the halacha lemaisa, we assume in our piyutim, the way we say the Seder Avaida. No, that was determined. Ishiti was determined on Erev Yom Kippur. Who's going to be the Ishiti? That wasn't a pious on Yom Kippur. So we assume that everything was done by the Kohen Gadol. Probably not everything is required min atar that it should be done by the Kohen Gadol. Some, the much of it is only midirabbanan. And nonetheless, we assume that there were four avodas that were done by pious that were done by a Kohen Hedya. The Gemara has on Dafayin, the Gemara has on Machlekes Hatanoim, if you look in the two sets of Karbonas that were brought, the set of Musafim that appears in Parshas Pinchas, and the set of the Karbonas for Avodas Hayom, they're totally different. And the two different units of Avoda, and this is done on Big Day Lovin, and this is done on Big Day Zohar, totally different. But there's one thing, the Ayala Oila. It says in Achri Moshe, bring an Ayla Yoyla. Then it says in Parshas Pinchas, bring an Ayla Yoyla. So the Tanoim had a Machlekes. Is this the same Ayla that's mentioned in two places? Or are they two different Ayla? If you would have asked me, I would have said it's two different Ayla. What? They're totally two different lists of Korbanos. This is for the Avodas Hayom, and this is for the Musafim. But I was outvoted. The Tanoim had already a machlokes before I was born. And the accepted opinion is the Ayel Ha'amakan Hu Ha'amah B'chumash HaPkudim. The Ayel Ha'oila that's mentioned in Parshas Achrimais is the same Ayel that appears in Parshas Simchon.
Why is that Ayel got the special privilege to be...
Tell us, so why is it mentioned twice? Yeah. It just throws you off. So why doesn't it mention everything else twice? Why is it mentioned that twice? It doesn't mention everything else twice. Now, tell us. So the Chachma Sodom, in the end of the Sefer Chachma Sodom, he was a Mechutna of the Vilna Goyen. Not exactly, he was a generation younger. I think the Vilna Goyen's grandchild was married to one of his children, if I'm not mistaken. So, but he's very proud of the fact that Mechutani Hagromi Vilna. He's a dynamo. Chayodin was a businessman, and then apparently when the business didn't go so well, so he appointed Madai in Vilna. He's Roy Lekachman, he knew the Chayodin and the Chachma Sodom. So at the end of the whole Chachma Sodom, he quotes from his Mechutna Vilna Goyen, Aganse Maroche and the Avedis Yom Kippur. Difficult diukim in Parshas Achrimois, and so one of the, he has around 10 murderous kashas, and the Vilna Goyen gave one answer to solve the whole puzzle. So one of the kashas was exactly this. Why is Ayel HaMakan Hu Ama B'chumash HaKun? Why does the Torah write it twice? It doesn't write everything else twice. So he gives the whole Mechudish to Gizin, and then he says at the end that he found it in this Sifra. The whole Chiddush of the Vilna Goyen was Mechadish. Says in Tanoim like that. Old interpretation that what it says in Achrimos, it's a very big Chiddush. What it says in Achrimos, you should tell Aaron HaKoyin, V'yovah B'chaleis Al HaKodesh Min Beis HaLochus. He has no right to enter the Kodesh HaKadosh whenever he wants. Ki mizot yova aron ala kodesh b'fabim boker lachatus va'ayla yoyla sonus by kodesh yilbush mitzvah sevad. If he wants to enter the kodesh of adoshim, he has to breathe in. Then it says all the way at the end of the sedra that he brings these korbanos achas bashan on yom kippur. Why doesn't it say that in the beginning of the parsha? It's written out of order. The very end of the parsha it says that these korbanos should be offered on yom kippur. In the beginning of the parsha, it doesn't say that. If he's interested in entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he has to bring the following list of Kabbalah. And then all the way at the end, after everything is all over, then it says, and the 29th Pasuk, after a long Arichas, it says in Pasuk Chav, on Yom Kippur, you should fast, you shouldn't do malacha. You never say chapalech, and you bring these karbanos, and it's achas bashan. You should bring it once a year. So why doesn't it say in the beginning that this is what you do on Yom Kippur? So the Vilna Goyen came up with this big chiddush. Then later on, they found that it says it in the Sifra. The Tanaim say like that. That this din applied not necessarily on Yom Kippur. Whenever there was a need that the Kohen Gadol should go, Ashat Muhammad. So they want the Kohen Gadol to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh and to be mispalel for the Klal Yisrael to protect us from the Muhammad, whatever great need. So he's not allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadosh unless he brings these specific korbanos. If it's Tu B'Shvat or it's Purim when he wants to enter the Kodesh HaKadosh, he's not going to bring the Musafim of Yom Kippur that are described in Parshas Simchos. Today's not Yom Kippur. But if he wants to enter the Kodesh HaKadosh to be mispalel, he has to bring all of these korbanos. This is a makpir that allows him to enter. If it happens to be Yom Kippur, so he has to bring in it, and he has to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for kapara purposes. So he brings all of these karbonis, plus he has to bring the Musafim in Pinchas as well. So you can kill two birds with one stone. There's two different chiyuvim. So you can be, it's not that this is a din, it's not a Yom Kippur to get in, it's a din of knisa lifnai v'lifnim, whenever he wants to go in. If he happens to be that it's Yom Kippur, so he has to bring these karbonis, plus those karbonis, but he can be yoited both with the same ayah. That's the chiddush that the Vilna Goyen said. And that was only Aaron. And that's how he interprets the pasuk says. Only Aaron has the right to go in by bringing this series of karbonis. But if Aaron HaKohen dies, you have a new Kohen Gadol, he can only go in achas bashana once a year. He doesn't have the special din, whenever Aaron feels it necessary that he has to enter the Kodesh HaKadosh, he may do so, provided that he follows this thing. Mm-hmm. That's how the Vilna Goyen is medayik to psukim at the end of this parsha. Chiddush, that's how we assume la'alocha, that ayel ha'amakan hu ha'amah b'chum shabkudit. It's the same ayel, and they didn't bring two different korbanos. Machlekes HaTanaim, the Machlekes HaTanaim was after the Churban HaBayit. Machlekes Rabbi Nechacham, they weren't around the Churban HaBayit. But they were trying to reconstruct what was it like. So that's how we assume halacha l'maaseh. The opening Mishnah Yume tells that the Kohen Gadol had to have Prisha Shivat Yomim. He had to sit in the Beit HaMikdash from a week before Yom Kippurim to make hachanas, to prepare himself. So then the Mishnah says, "Umaskinim laKohen Achad Tachtav Shema Yarabov Stu." And we prepare another backup Kohen Gadol in case the first Kohen Gadol will take sick, in case he'll become Tamei. He can't do the Avodah, so he prepares somebody else instead. It doesn't say that the Kohen Achad Tachtav also requires Prisha Shivat Yomim. How come? Well, what do you do lemaisa if the Kohen Gadol can't do the Avodah? He doesn't feel well. He has to lay in bed. And you have the Kohen Achad Tachtav take over, so he didn't have Prisha Shivat Yomim. So the Tosfos Yeshanim on the side points out, and then Shagat Ari writes in his paper, Bura Tari, he speaks in the Pashtus on Mishnah that the Prisha Shivat Yomim is not the Hikuvah. It's only lechatzili in the prisha, so we don't expect the Kohen Gadol to take sick. And if it looks like he's taka, if there seems to be a likelihood that he may get sick, so you do have prisha on the Kohen Achad Tachtav. But if it's just as a backup, and we really don't think it's ever going to happen, but then there's no need to have the prisha Shivat Yomim because it's not miyakid b'diyev and it's far fetched anyway. So forget about it. That's how they all say. The Mishnah says that Kohen Gadol has to be married to do the Avodah on Yom Kippurim, because the pasuk says, V'chipa ba'adoy, v'yad beiso, and beiso zu ishtoy. Right. So here it says, Maskinim l'koyin achatachtov, and it doesn't say whether he has to be married. Just like it doesn't say that he needs prisha, it doesn't say the koyin achatachtov. Tommy is married. Well, a single guy. Tommy is married. Why should he be a single person? But it doesn't say. So that's a machlekes already in the Tosfos Yeshanim. 2 days in Tosfos is the being married in the Ikuva. When it says Zechipa Badab, the Ad Beis, the Beis is the Wish, does that really make even if the Kohen Gadol is not married? Tokanish, the whole Avodah is no good. But he's saying, no, that's only Lachatzil, it's also not Me'akev for the Yevim. The Gemara has a whole discussion. The Mishnah says, machlekes Hatanayim, do we prepare? Rabbi Yudah says, "Afi shacheres maskin laHashem and Thomas ishtoy." Just like we're afraid the Kohen Gadol may take sick, so we have a backup. So we have to be afraid. Maybe the Kohen Gadol will survive. Maybe his wife will die suddenly. Boom, the wife is going to die in the middle of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara, so Rabbi Yudah says, "You prepare another wife." But we don't pass him like that. We pass him like the Chachamim. Maybe the second wife will die. Maybe the third wife will die. Chalom. So you don't have to be so concerned about that. So that's how we pass. So the Gemara says, exactly what does he do? What do you mean, Afi Shacheres Maskin Eloy? So you mean, on Erev Yom Kippur, he takes another wife. So he's married to two wives. In case one of them dies, so the other one will survive. So the Gemara says, Das Tagay Chidnish. Chipa Bada Be'ad Beisit Beisit Uishta, but it's only Ba'i Sechet Velo Shtei Bada. So he can't be married to two wives. So the Gemara says, no, he marries and he divorces her. He divorced her. So Vajra takes him, so he's got divorced already. He just made her a Grusha. So the Gemara has a whole complicated deny. And there's a whole blot Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel that when you learn Maseches Gittin from cover to cover, you will think that you know all of Hilchos Gittin, but there'll be a little bit missing. There are a couple of details here on Daf Yud Gimel, Amud Aleph, Amud Beis, that don't appear anywhere in Maseches Gittin. A couple of details in Hilchos Gittin. Gemara has some fancy conditions over here. He gives Kiddushin, then he gives a Get Allah tonight. Because the Gemara insists that the din is Ba'yisechet Velo Shnei Batim. He cannot be married to two wives. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the minig is, that the Baal Tefillah on Yom Neroim is Dugmas HaKohen Gadol, even though you only need a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, not on Rosh Hashanah. But it says nonetheless, the Shliach Tzibur on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is Dugmas HaKohen Gadol. He should be married, shouldn't be single, and he shouldn't have two wives. What do you mean two wives? Who has two wives? We have a Chemder Rabbein Gershom. So once in a while we make a Hetanei Rabban, and we allow, once in a while there's a legitimate Hetanei Rabban also. So we allow a person to have another wife, so he's not allowed to be the chazan. That's the meaning. Even though he has the Heter, we permit him to marry two wives, but Zana Mishnah is also the Heter. This is the Mishnah, says Mana Bayis is before the Chemder Rabbein Gershom. Still, you don't allow the Kohen Gadol who has two wives to do the Avodah. So the minig is that we don't permit someone who had a hetamei rabbanim and legally is married to two different wives, even though it's the hetamei, we don't allow him to daven farnom and on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's the minig. There is an interesting machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid. What does this mean? Ba'yisechet v'lo shnei batim. So in Hilchas Ishus, when the Rambam quotes all of the Hilchas Yisuri Diyo, the Rambam Hilchas Ishus, he quotes, how do you make kiddushin? How do you get married? And what are the obligations between the husband and the wife? Hilchos Gerushin tells you how to get divorced. Hilchas Yisuri Bi gives you a list of the prohibited marriages, which relatives one is not permitted to marry, Minatar Min Rabbanon. And Kohanim have special din in Gusha Zayna V'Halala, and so on and so forth. And Mitzvi V'Adami, and Amoyne Mayovi, and Amzerim, all the din. So when he lists off all the special dinim, like Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to marry Gusha Zayna V'Halala, Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry even an Almana, Ba'isha B'Tzulel, Yikach can't marry a Ba'ula. So then the Rambam says, and there's another din for the Kohen Gadol, he's not allowed to have two wives.
Okay.
Never allowed to have. So he doesn't understand that it's a Yom Kippur Digidin. According to the Rambam, it's not a Yom Kippur Digidin. The meaning that we have, that we don't allow the Baal Tefillah to have two wives, is because we assume that it's a Yom Kippur Digidin. The Rambam says, no, it's a Kohen Gadol Digidin. Just like the Kohen Gadol can't marry a Ba'ula, and he can't marry an Almon, and the Kohen Hedyot can't marry a Gusha Zayin of a Halala, so the Kohen Gadol can't have two wives, it's a different book.
Where did he get that?
He understood that this pasuk is megala who isha b'tzolel yikach isha achas v'lo shtei nashim, and he understands that that's what it means. It's all year long the Kohen Gadol can't have two wives. It's not really a Yom Kippur digadin in the seder avodah. It's a din in Kohen Gadol. He's in Hilchas Yisuri Bia. The Raibit is masking on the Rambam and says, what are you talking about? There's a beferish pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that says there was a Kohen Gadol who had two wives.
So who said he did it
it's not a Kohen Gadol that he had two wives. So the writer says, how can, but it's a fella, what do you mean he had two wives when he came Yom Kippur, what, he divorced one?
Yeah. But the whole Gemara, the whole Indian is that he had two wives. With it to know him and all
the yes, so how does he marry, and then divorce her? So he marries her as already the Issa.
What?
I don't know. Marries her as the Issa. I don't know, it's a fella. So the Raivid has this hafsog on the Rambam Hilchas Yisuri Bia. How can the Rambam say that it's a din all year long, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to have two wives? A beferish pasuk in Treyasar in Divrei Hayamim, that there was a Kohen Gadol who had two wives. So on the bottom of the page, they have different mafarshim on the Rambam. They have the Magi Mishnah, the Keset Mishnah, and the Lechem Mishnah, the Mishnah Melech, and everybody. And then you have the Magia, the Chacham Tzvi. The Ha'oris of the Chacham Tzvi, a one line Ha'oris on the bottom. He changes the gear, so he tells you where the tour is, where the smug is, very, very slight ha'oris, right below the Rambam, before he gets to anybody. So the Magia writes over there, Pile, Ploim, no one knows what the Raibit is talking about. The Pasuk doesn't say the Kohen Gadol had two wives. How do you have two wives? When it comes to Yom Kippur, he's going to divorce one, he can't marry her back again. He's a Grusha. No kind can marry even Grusha's son. So that's ridiculous. The Pasuk says he read a shit of somebody else two wives. Vayasi, doesn't say Vayisa. Say Vayasi, Agarat Ashirach, someone else. He read Ashirach, someone else, two wives. He was the Shatchim, it doesn't say he was the Chosn. He writes, the Ivrin, the Pasuk, doesn't say that he married. Anyway, but it's a Modna Machlekes, the Rambam and the Raivit. The way you usually, if you wouldn't look in the Rambam, you would get the impression from the Mishnah is like the Raivit. Leading out the Pasuk in the Rayam. Okay, but the Pashup Shat is like the Raivit, that it's only a Yom Kippur Dikadin. Of course, it doesn't make sense that he should marry two wives all year long. What's he going to do when it comes to Yom Kippur? He's going to dump her? He's going to divorce her? Well, where's Yosha? So don't marry her in the first place. And the Rambam holds no. The Rambam holds that it's not a Yom Kippur Digadin and all. It's a din in any Surid Bia. That the Kohen Gadol all year long is not permitted to have two wives. The Gemara, the Mishnahis point out that the Avodah was done in five different units. First, the Kohen Gadol, he runs the whole show, 96% of the show. Only four Avodahs are done, like they're pious by Kohanim and Yoitim. And the 96% of the Avodah that he does on Yom Kippur is charted out by the Mishnahis. First, he goes to the mikveh in the morning, that's the din. Whoever comes to the Beit HaMikdash to do a HaKrovus HaKorbanos has to go to the mikveh. And then he has to do Kiddush HaDayim Raglayim, it says in the Chumash, before you put on Digdei Kuna. Before and after. When you take off Digdei Kuna, you also need Kiddush HaDayim Raglayim. So the Seder HaVoida was divided into five units. First, the Kohen Gadol goes to the mikveh, then he does Kiddush HaDayim Raglayim. He puts on the Digdei Zohov, that's the Shmein of Gadim that he wears all year long. And he does a couple of Korbanos. Then he takes it off. When you take off Big Dikun, he has to do Kiddush HaDayim Raglayim. Then he does again. He has to be Tovel in the Mikvah because he's going to put on Big Dikun. He's going to put on a second set of Big Dikun. The Halacha says that Ager Habola his Gayer has to be Tovel in the Mikvah. A man or a woman has to be Tovel in the Mikvah. The Mikvah accomplishes different things. Sometimes a person is Tameh or Kelim HaTameh, so he's Tovel in the Mikvah, removes Tumah. Sometimes, let's say, a nidah labayla. So a woman goes to mikveh is not to the isha labayla. it's really, many Rishonim hold, it's not really connected with the tumah. There's one din of tumas nida, that when the isha is sabelis, that removes the tumah. Then there's another din, nida labaila, is a different din. It's a matir. You have sometimes, the woman will still be tameya, she'll be an avat tumah, and she'll be materis labaila. And sometimes fakir, she'll be asura labaila, and she won't be an avat tumah. It doesn't always go 100% together. So the tefillah and the mikveh is a different din. Moshe l'mad avdam, if you would have a trace of salami, you'd be tevel and mikveh and become kosher. There is no such din. But if there would be such a din, there would be a... So over here, it's a din. You tevel the isha and the mikveh, she becomes materis l'baila. Not because the isha l'baila is a function of the tumah. Even if it's not a function of the tumah, that's a din. And then the third din, for the purpose of Tosefes Kedusha, when a nachri bole his gayer, so he wants to get a Kedusha Sisot, he has to be tevel and the mikveh. And the same thing, when there was Bechiras HaLevim, when the Levim were Nifcharu in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, and they got a special status of Kedushas Levi, so they had to be Tovel in the Mikveh, it says in the Chumash. And then when the Kohanim were Nifcharu, and they got a Kedushas Kunas, it says also in Parshas Tzav, that they had to be Tovel in the Mikveh. Whenever, or when you buy Kelim in Anochrin, when you buy pots and pans from a non-Jewish shop, so the din is, many Rishonim hold, we assume that it's a din deraisa, it's not a din derabban. You have to be tevel the clay suda in a mikveh. So what is that all about? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Rabbeinu Yoina from the little Sefer Yisra V'Heter. Mine is a little, my father's a big one. The Sefer Yisra V'Heter, Haruch, the big Yisra V'Heter, that he says this is not tefillah to remove tumah. Well, what kind of tumah? Bizman is everything is tumah, everybody's tumah. This is a tefillah like you megayer the kelim. Just like you don't want to have any intermarriage, so you don't want to have goyish kelim in the house. You have to be megayer the kelim, so to speak. It's a geiris. It's to be moisif kedusha onto the kelim. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that when a kohen puts on bigdei kuna, bizman shebigdei malayim kuhunasim alayim, ein bigdei malayim, ein kuhunasim alayim. When he puts on the bigdei kuna, he gets a higher level of kedushas kuna. When you have kohanim live in Queens and they're not wearing any bigdei kuna, they're not permitted to be metamei lemeisim. And they're not permitted to marry a grusha. They have some of the din they can do pidyon ben. They get the first aliyah. The dinim of kuna, even when you don't wear big kuna, but there are some dinim of kuna that only apply when you do wear the big kuna. When you get the kedushas kuna shabam migdosh, to be able to be makar of karbanis, he has to be wearing the big kuna. If he's not wearing the big kuna, felt in the kedushas kuna. Bizman shein migdei malem ein kuna osam alem. That's how the Gemara says, Mahavale Kizar, and Azar Shofar is Bemisa B'dei Shamayim. The Gemara says, if a Kohen does Avodas HaKarbonis and is not wearing Bigdei Kuna, he's Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim, because it's Dina Kizar, because the Felton is a Chaser at Slok Dushas Kuna. So that's why the Gemara dashes from the Psukim, that since when the Kohen, any Kohen, is going to put on Bigdei Kuna, this will be Mosif Kedushas Kuhune within him. So whenever you have a Tosefis in Kedusha, you always have to have Vila the Mikveh. So the Gemara learns out from a Pasuk. And whenever any Kohen puts on Big Dekun, he has to be Tovel in the Mikveh. So the Kangal on Yom Kippur puts on Big Dekun 5 times. Because the Avoid is divided into 5 units. He first puts on the Big Day Zov. Then when he takes it off, the Ois Kedushas Kuna. Then when he puts on the Big Day Lovan, he gets a new Kedushas Kuna again. Then he takes it off and puts on the 3rd unit of Avoid is on the Big Day Zov. So each time he takes off the Big Day Kuna, he goes down a Madrega, he loses the Kedushas Kuna. Then when he puts on the big dekuna, he gets an elevation, a hisafin kedushas kuna. So that's why the halacha requires. The avodah is done in 5 units, and each time he puts on big dekuna, he has to be tovel in the mikveh 5 times. Chamish tefilas, he does chamish tefilas. And kiddush adayim raglayim, he has to do 10 times. Because when you put on, or when you take off big dekuna, you have to do kiddush adayim raglayim. So even though he takes off the big day zohav, and he puts on the big day lov, and a minute later, no, the halacha requires, he has to do a Kiddush Daim Raglan for taking off the first set of Big Dekuna. Then he has to be Tovel in the Mikveh because he plans to put on the second set. And then he does the Kiddush Daim Raglan. Next he puts on the Big Dekuna. Then he does the Kiddush Daim Raglan.
Kohen had it too. The Kohen has it.
Also.
For Kiddush
Daim Raglan. Yeah. Whenever a Kohen puts on Big Dekuna, takes off, he has to do Kiddush Daim Raglan. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur does it 5 times. Okay. So he does 5 times. And Hedge doesn't have to switch. He stands in the base of Megdash, he does, and he goes out. So he only does Kiddush Daim Raglayim when he puts on and when he takes off. So the Gemara points out that the whole Seder HaAvodah on Yom Kippur is described in the Chumash. Everything in Achrei Mois, everything is in order except for one pasuk. If you read the pasuk, the Psukim in Achrei Mois, you get the distinct impression that the Avodah was done in 3 units. Digdei Zohav, then Digdei Lovon, Lefnai V'Lefnim, and then he takes it up and he puts on Digdei Zohav and he wraps up the Avodah and he finishes. You don't have five units. So the Gemara says, we have a tradition, a Kabbalah, Torah Shebal Peh, that teaches us that the one pasuk in the middle is Nichtav Shaloy Al HaSeder, Pelot Digdei Zohav. Kol HaParsha Nemra Al HaSeder, Chut Minikra Zeh. The one pasuk is Shaloy Al HaSeder, it belongs later, because he had to break up the middle Avodah into two, in order that you should have five units. So he does avoid it. In the Chumash, it only says Zov, Lavan, Zov. And the Torah Shemal Peh says, no, it has to be Digdei Zov, Digdei Lavan, Digdei Zov, Digdei Lavan, Digdei Zov. It has to be five units of avoid. And then the Tanoim spell out later in the Mishnah that he, exactly which avoid did he do in the first unit, and which did he do in the second, which did he do in the third. And Machlek has different opinions in the Tanoim. The way we have in our Machzer, the Nusach Ashkenaz Piyut of the Seyd Avodah, the Chayyadim points out it doesn't correspond to any opinion in the Tanakh. He says it's in Gansam Fagreist. It used to be the Beis Yosef writes. There's a long, gigantic Beis Yosef in Hilchas Yom Kippur. It used to be the Nusach of the Seyd Avodah of Nusach Sfar used to be more Fagreist. That used to have more mistakes. But the Beis Yosef wrote all the Haggoyes, and he has a page when there's no tour at all. Only Beis Yosef. He took over the whole page. Two long columns. He took over everything and he gives Hagoy, Hef Hagoy, Hef Hagoy. So the Sephardic printers were from Balabatim and they looked in the Beis Yosef and they corrected everything. So after the Beis Yosef corrected it, so the Nusach Sfar is already better than the Nusach Ashkenaz. So the Chayyadim came, it's a Chunta Gegartels, and he made Hagoyes on the Nusach Ashkenaz to correct it. But the printers didn't listen to the Chayyadim, so they just keep on printing the old Seyd Avodah. So now, as we have it, the Nusach Sfard is much more correct than the Nusach Ashkenaz. That's the Chayyadim. He says the Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't correspond to any Shita. So the Chayyadim says you have to correct it, that it should correspond to the way we task in Laloch. The Taisis Yontef, Amishnayis, Kvetches, he says, true, it doesn't correspond to any Shita as they appear in the Babli, but he dug up, there's a Yerushalmi, there's a Tana Yerushalmi who doesn't appear in the Mishnayis, who disagrees with everybody in the Mishnayis. And the one who wrote the Tirt is following that time in Yerushalayim. Why did he pick out? Why did he decide to follow? The Paitanim sometimes, Tesis points out, the Paitanim sometimes followed Yerushalayim against Babli. But in the Seyd HaAvodah, that's a Pella. It's a big problem. Anyway. No, there was a difference. When does he put the Torah on the fire before he enters the Torah Shagadosh? No. No, the question is, in Chumash it says he brings in the Kafa Machta and he takes out the Kafa Machta in the same unit of Avod and Digdei Lovan. The Gemara says, no, that's what you have to break up. He brings it in, second unit of Avodah, he leaves it, then he goes out and Digdei Zohav, and he does other Avodahs, and then he goes back in to take out the Kafa Machta. So the Hotzos Kafa Machta has to, really belongs later. That's the pasuk that's Nichtav Shaloy Al HaSeder. So the Mishnayis have these details exactly, what Avodah was done, when. And you have the Nusach Sfard is more correct, the Taka follows the Pesach Halach, Nusach Ashkenaz is questionable. Chayyadim thinks we should correct it, that it should conform to what is the accepted opinion. And the Taz Yantim says maybe you should leave it the way it is. It corresponds to one Tana in the Yerushalm. There's one Avodah that never says Beferish in the Gemara when it was done. The Gemara never talks about it. The Tomash Albein Abayim. They brought a Tomash Albein Abayim. That's no question about it. That's one of the 15 Karbonis. Machlek is HaTanim, whether are the 15 Karbonis or 16. Tamash Hashach, Tamash Abayin Abayim, that we all agree. And then there are ten Mustafim Dachzach and Parshas Pinchas, that makes it into 12. And then the Shabbat, how many more Karbonas are there over here? Is Ayil Ha'amakan Hu'ama B'chumash Abkudim? So you subtract that, or do you say, no, they're two different Elam. So that's a Machleg, with the 15 or 16 Karbonas that were brought on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnayis have all the debates and the whole discussion exactly when you brought which carbon, and the Talmud Shel Ben Abayim never says when they brought it. Very strange. So that's a Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. Was it done in the third unit of Avodah? Was it done in the fifth unit of Avodah? But they really, the whole thing is a Pella. How come it's not mentioned at all in the Mishnayis?
Before the Ben Abayim.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last point.
Everything on the Mizbeach HaKitzon. Yeah, Haktaris Emurim. You can't do any other Hakrobat Korbanis on the Mizbeach. To shecht another carbon after Tom Shabbat Abayim, everybody agrees you're not allowed to. But Haktaris Emurim is kosher kol alayla. So it could be that the Talmud Shel Ben Abayim is brought in the third unit of Avodah, and the fifth unit he does Haktaris. Haktaris he can do all night long also. So he does it in the fifth unit of Avodah. So that's the major difference between Nusach Sfar and Nusach Ashkenaz, that the Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi and the Nusach Sfar follows the Rambam regarding this issue whether the Talmud Shel Ben Abayim was in the third unit or in the fifth unit of Avodah. But it's a Pella, the whole thing is a Pella. How come it doesn't say? Rashi and the Rambam, it doesn't say explicitly either way. So in the back of the Gemara, you have the Ha'aretz of Rav Shlomo LaVilna. So he has an Iluyish comment. He's not masking with either. Here on page 36 in the regular Gemara. He's not masking with the Rambam or with Rashi. He says, why should you say, and I find I'm basing it. Why should you say that it's the third unit of Avodah or the fifth unit of Avodah? There's a Mishnah in Pesachim that says Tamid Shel Ben Abayim was Nishchat B'Shmoyin HaMachzah B'Kar B'Teish HaMachzah. Every day, with a very few exceptions to the rule, Pesach is an exception to the rule, they would bring Tamid Shel Ben Abayim between 2:30 and 3:30 in the afternoon. When the clock strikes 2:30, then you bring the Tamid Shel Ben Abayim. So when is that? Is that in the third unit of Avodah, the fifth unit? So it says it depends. If he's a young, energetic, and godly, he's running, he's doing all the Avodah, he'll be finished, he'll be already in the fifth unit of Avodah, and when the clock strikes 2:30. So he'll do the Tom Shel Ben Abayim, in the fifth unit of Avodah, if he's an alter kind godly, and Tom Kamba the Kenge. So he'll be lucky if it'll be in the middle of the third unit of Avodah. It'll be whenever 2:30 comes, whenever the clock rings, 2:30. That's when he brings the Tamid Shel Ben Abayim. So he says that's why it never says explicitly
when
which unit of Avodah did they bring it in? Did they bring it in the third unit or the fifth? He says it depends how fast the Kohen Gadol does the whole Avodah. That's on that fine, I think. That's on that fine. Says the Rambam. Rashi sheet is that the Tamid Shel Ben Abayim was Tefillah Chamishis, and that's what it says in the Nusach Ashkenaz. The Rambam's opinion is that it was in the Tefillah Shlishis. The Halacha Mishnah points out this Machlekes, the Rambam and Rashi. And he says he doesn't accept either. He thinks that they're both not correct. He says it depends whenever it was 2:30. Mechatesa, why should you think that it has a fixed place in the context of all the other Avodas the Mishnah says in Pesachim, that the fixed month is 2:30 in the afternoon? Anaya Einfo. Mishnah says that on Yom Kippur, you have Kriyas HaTorah. We have Kriyas HaTorah with a whole bunch of aliyahs. And the Gemara, Megillah has a Machlekes HaTanaim, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel. How many aliyahs do you have on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara explains that the aliyahs are in the degree of importance of the day. A regular Kriyas HaTorah has to have a minimum of three aliyahs. Every Sheni V'Chamishi, you have three aliyahs. And if the day has a little more hashivas, like Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, you have four aliyahs. And if it's a yontif, then you have five aliyahs. Shabbos Yom Kippur is higher, so you have six and seven. So whichever is higher has seven, whichever is lower has six, so that's a machlokes. Rabbi Akiva says that every Shabbos you give six aliyahs, and Yom Kippur is the highest. Yom Kippur is holier than Shabbos, so you give seven aliyahs, you go up. And we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva, unusual. We don't pass like Rabbi Akiva, here we pass like Rabbi Shema. That on Shabbos, Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos is higher than the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur. So on Shabbos he gives the seven aliyahs. Yom Kippur you only have six aliyahs. Lamaisa we give seven aliyahs on Yom Kippur. Lamaisa, because the Gemara Megillah has a machlekes amarim where the mafter oyle leminyan kruim, a mafter is not oyle leminyan kruim. So Meikar then we pass in the mafter is oyle. Rabbeinu Tam says v'harai because on the Taina Sibur. You don't give three aliyahs and then give maftir. You give three aliyahs and the third oil of latir is the maftir. But on Shabbos and Yontif, also the din should have been the maftir is oil of the minyan kruin. So on Shabbos, you should give seven aliyahs and the seventh oil of latir should be maftir. And on Yontif, you should give five and the fifth one should be maftir. We don't do that. We give five and then we give maftir. We give six on Yom Kippur and then we give maftir. Rabbeinu Tam says that since it's a machlokes in the Gemara, they may as well satisfy both opinions. You're permitted to make hoysafis. That's how Rabbeinu Tam holds. You may make Kosafis on Yom Tov and Yom Kippur and Shabbos, So we always make ourselves to satisfy the other opinion. The mice said we don't follow that opinion. We, in Shulchan Aruch, we say you shouldn't make any haitzafis. Because the Ran and Megillah on the Mishnah says the only time you're allowed, the Ran interprets the Mishnah like that, the only time you're permitted to make haitzafis is on Shabbos. Because Shabbos has the highest number, whichever day has the highest number of aliyahs. According to Rabbi Yishmael, it's Shabbos has the highest, 7. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's Yom Kippur has the highest number, 7 aliyahs. So whichever day is the highest, there's nothing above it, so then you can give haitzafis all you want. But on any other day, we don't allow haitzafis because then you're giving a Sheni V'Chamishi an importance like a Rosh Chodesh or like a Chol HaMoed. Then you're giving a Chol HaMoed an importance like a Yontif. You're giving Yontif an importance like a Yom Kippur. Giving a Yom Kippur an importance like a Shabbat. You're not allowed to give a lower day, the Hashiv is like a higher day. But if you're on top, if you're on top of the whole system, so the top day you can make yourself. That's what the Ran says. So that's what we usually follow, that opinion. Then in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah recommends you should never make any haitzafis on Yom Tif or Yom Kippur, only on Shabbat. But bottom line, we always make haitzafis. Because we follow the Rabbein and Tam. Rabbein and Tam says, the Nikir Adin, Mafta Rezoyla, the Minyan Akuin, Baharaya, from every time is Sibur, and from Tisha B'Av, that the Shlishi is Oilam L'Maftir. So you see, the Maftir is the last of the Oilam L'Torah. I said, why is on Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Kippur, why do we give Maftir? He says, because it's permissible to make Haitzafis. The only reason why you don't make Haitzafis on a weekday is Tichat Tzibur. People have to go to work. So you don't make Haitzafis not on Chol HaMoed, because people go to work. Some people go to work, and not on Rosh Chodesh. Everybody goes to work. Yeah. Women don't go to work, but the husbands go to work. So you're not allowed to make haitzafis because people have to go. It's tichat tzibur. But on Shabbos or Yom Tov or Yom Kippur, no one's going to work. Mm-hmm. So then you're permitted to make haitzafis. So the
Shabbos you have to.
Yom Tov you do 5 and 1, Yom Kippur you do 6 and 1, and Shabbos you do 7 and 1. So Nikir Adin, you should really do 5, and the 5th one should be the Maftir, because same as the Tainus Tzibur, you do 3, and the 3rd one is the Maftir. So how come we do 5 and 1, we do 6 and 1, we do 7 and 1? So the answer is, we're making a Haitzafis. What do you need Haitzafis for? Well, let's say the Shul has a policy, we don't make Haitzafis. Why do they make one Haitzafis? Rabbeinu Tam says, we always make one Haitzafis whenever you're allowed to, on Yom Tov and Yom Kippur and Shabbos, because there's a machlokes in the Gemara whether Maftir counts, whether the last Olah LaTorah can serve as Maftir or not. So he may as well satisfy the holidays. The bottom line, we pass in the Maftir is Olah. We're just being machmir to satisfy the other opinion that says the Maftir is not Olah in any form. Tanatani Sibi can satisfy that opinion because it's also to make Haitzafis. People have to go to work. When on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, no one's going to work. There is no Tichat Tzibur. So you make Haitzafis. Why not? That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. So that's the Kriyas HaTorah that we know of. Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur, you give 6 aliyahs and you make another Haitzafis and you give him Maftir. But the Mishnah has, in the Beit HaMikdash, the Zman Shel Beit HaMikdash, Shayakam, the Kangaroo would do the Avodah. And at a certain point in the Avodah, we're going to discuss in a minute, he would leave the Azara and lay in Kriyas HaTorah, and he was the only Oilel HaTorah. They didn't give any 6 aliyahs, and there was no Maftir. In other shuls all over the world, they get 6 aliyahs and a Maftir. But in the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol lay in Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara says on Daf Hey that the Kriyas HaTorah of the Kohen Gadol of Achrei Mois is Ma'akev in the Avodah. If he does the whole Avodah perfectly and he doesn't lay in the Kriyas HaTorah, you're not Yaitzeh. You're not Yaitzeh the whole Seder Avodah that was brought. The Gemara learns it out from Sukkim like that. And the Gemara says the same thing when you do a Paraduma. How many times did they make a Paraduma in the history of the world? 9 times, 10 times. The Mishnah in Parah says 9 times, I think. So every time you make a Paraduma, every time you shecht and you burn a Paraduma, and you prepare the Yeshus, the Mitar people from Tumas Meis, so you have to lane the people who are doing the Asiyas HaParah, have to lane Parshas Parah. That's what some of the Achrenim say. When it says in Shulchan Aruch that Parshas Parah is their Isa, what Parshas Parah is their Isa? Every year Parshas Parah that you lane before Pesach is their Isa. So they say, no, it goes on that. When you're making a Paraduma, then Parshas Parah is their Isa, and it's Ma'akeh. And if you don't lay in the parasha and you made your paradum, it's puzzle. You have to do it all over again. Like the Gemara says that the Kriya HaTorah on Yom Kippur is Likuva. The Gemara learns that on the family base. So that Kriya HaTorah, that's Likuva, only the Kohen Gadol does that. And he gets one long aliyah, Part of it he learns Balpeh, the Mishnah gives the whole explanation, he has to learn Balpeh. And he says the brachas, and here the Mishnah says in Soita, Perek Elan Amorim, there's a whole Perek in the, towards the end of Soita, which mitzvahs of Dibur have to be fulfilled only in the original Hebrew, and which can be fulfilled in translation. Let's say Duchening, the Kohanim have to say Duchening in the original Hebrew. They can't say in translation. But let's say Kiddush and Abdullah and Davening, you can say in translation also. Kriya Shema Zamachloik is Satanoim, and brachas. And in the Mishnah and Soita, we pass and it can be said in translation. Birchas HaMotzin can also be said in translation. So the Mishnah says there, a regular Oyla LaTorah all year long, if he doesn't know how to say the Birchas HaTorah in Hebrew, strictly speaking, Allah says he can say the Birchas HaTorah in English. That was the original reform in Germany. They felt fair that the Balabatim didn't understand a word of Hebrew, so the mumbling, the Siddur, they didn't understand. So they changed to German, and it was always gehalten, just they didn't consult any Gdolim. They just looked in the Shulchan Aruch and they did on their own. So that's what all the Gdolim were opposed for various political reasons. They didn't like this innovation to say the davening in translation. But strictly speaking, that's Taka the Din. You can say all the brachas in translation and Yoyote if it's the correct translation. The aliyah that the Kohen Gadol gets on Yom Kippur are not part of the seven aliyahs with the Master. The aliyah that he gets, the one and only Olah LaTorah, and it's Ma'akev if he doesn't lay in the Kriyas Parshas Achemayt, not yet to the Seir Avodah. So the Mishnah mentions there in Elu Nemorim, he has to recite the brachas in the original Hebrew. The same thing Hakel, when the Melech lays Kriyas HaTorah by Hakel, first the Chalamayt Sukkis, following Shnat HaShmita, the Melech has to say the Birchas HaTorah Dafki in Hebrew. He can't say in translation. It's a special din. The Kriyas HaTorah, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. What? No. No, apparently not. Apparently not. The Hakel is a special din. Mishnah only singles out Hakel is a special din. And the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. I don't think it applies to Parshas Zohar. Even though Parshas Zohar, we assume is deraisa. Parshas Zohar doesn't apply. So the Mishnah has an interesting description.
In Parshas Torah, the Machlokes know whether it's the Reish or not between Mechaber and the
right. The Shulchan Aruch quotes Yesh Omrim. The Some of the Achrayim say that's what he meant when you're making a Parah Duma. Then the Gemara Taka says on that page, that's the Gemara Yuma. The Kriyas Parshas Torah is Ma'akeh. That's Parshas Torah there, but it doesn't mean that the yearly. In the context of the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like the Parshas Torah that we lay, that we lay is there, right? So that's what they say, no, that can't be. When the Mechaber quoted the Rishonim and said, there are a group of Rishonim say like that, Parshas Par, they answered, they didn't mean every year. They meant when you're making a Par Aduma, then the Parshas Par is Ma'ake, and the Kriyas Parshas Par is there, right? So here the Mishnah has a strange description of what happened. The Kohen Gadol does a Hagrola, he takes Shnei Sirim that are Shav and Luk are identical, and they cost about the same in the same height. And the kachas and kachas, he purchases both at the same time, and then he does a hagrola to determine which is the soil Hashem, which is the soil Azazel. Not like the Satanayim, whether the hagrola is Ni'akevis or hagrola is any Ni'akevis. Let's say he'll just declare. I hereby declare this is the soil Hashem and this is the soil Azazel. So that's a machlokes the Satanayim, whether that works, or you have to dafk it. Lachatchil, you certainly need hagrola, but what if the Dievit? Is it Likuvit that you have to have? The machlokes the Satanayim, talk in this period. Bola Kohen Gadol, fine also. So the Mishnah says, Kohen Gadol already determined which is Sarla Hashem, which is Sarla Azor. He already said, Viduyim. The Ishiti comes into the Azora and he gives him the Sire Lazazel. So the Azazel is a Tuk Kosher. It's a steep cliff, which is 11 milin away from the Beit HaMikdash. He has to walk a Hipshah Mahalach. A mil, the Mishnah Berurah always writes that a mil is the distance that you walk in 18 minutes. 18 minutes is a sheer mil. That's how the Mishnah Berurah writes. And others disagree. They say it's 22 and a half minutes. Others say 24 minutes. So it takes 11 mil. 11 mil? A couple of hours.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
More than 3 hours.
More than 3 hours.
More than 3 hours to walk from the Beit HaMikdash. You can't go by car. Lech Yom Kippur. You go in Chutz L'Klum. Way Chutz L'Klum. The Klum is Alpaimam. It's 1 mil. So it says that they would baglaitim the Akira Yushalayim, the Choshev Balabat would baglait the Ishiti to the first Sukkah, to the end of the Kum, that was the first Sukkah. Then there would be people there who would baglaitim to the second Sukkah, and then the people from the second would go, no one can walk that far, Chutz Kum, the Ishiti has to go Chutz Kum, Chutz Kum, Chutz Kum, He has to go 11 mil. Till he takes his sayer to the cliff and he pushes it over the cliff. So the Chumash says, V'shilach b'yad ishiti hamidbara. The Kohen Gadol should give the sayer hamishtaleh to the ishiti, that he should bring it to the midbar. So the Mishnah points out on Samaches on the base, the Tchilas HaMidbar was Gimel Milin away from the Beis HaMidrash. Not, that took approximately 1 hour, give or take a little bit. If the mil is 18 minutes, so 3 Milin is a little under an hour. If the mil is 22 and a half minutes, 24 minutes, so it's a little over an hour. So it says the Kohen Gadol hands over the Sar HaMishtalech to the Yishiti in the Azorah, and he has to wait for an hour, and he can't sit and Yeshiva Bazar on the Malchit Bezovid. Zolah Reis came from the Azor. Let him walk out of the Azor and have a seat. He's not allowed to walk out of the Azor. He has to stand in the Azor for an hour, twiddle his thumb, say Tillin, say Piyutin, I don't know, talk and learning, do something. Talk Lashon Hara. Whatever he's going to do on Yom Kippur in the Azor. Whatever he's going to do, he stands for an hour. He doesn't do any Avodah for an hour until he knows that the Yishiti is Higia L'Tchilos Hamid, because that's what it says in the Chumash. V'shilach b'yad ishiti Amid Bor, when he's magia l'tchilas Amid Bor, so then the Kohen Gadol's job is over. Then he can go to the next step in the Avodah. The next step is he learns Kriyas HaTorah. That's these two Mishnayos on Samaches on the base. Omer lo the Kohen Gadol higia soir l'Amid Bor, when they notify the Kohen Gadol that the soir is higia l'Amid Bor, how do you know? The one time it says he used to wave flags. They will wave flags from one place to the other. The other day would notify him that the higia. The other time it says, what do you have to have flags? You look on your watch. You count how long it takes, approximately an hour and 15 minutes. You wait an hour and 15 minutes, you know it's a Gilasana. Well, what could have happened already? There's nothing in the way. There's nothing ma'ake. So, Mustama, an hour and 15 minutes, he's already a Gilasol Amidba. So, once you know, Omer lo the Kangol, a Gilasol Amidba, then, Bola Kangol, Likrois. Then he's permitted to leave the Azor. Up until then, he has to stand in the Azor. What kind of a strange halacha is that? What does he have to stand in the Azor for? So Rav Elbel Soloveitchik explains part of this in his sefer, and a letter to the Rav Zichron Livracha. The Rav explained part, and Rav Elbel explained part. The both of them together. It's interesting. The Gemara says whatever it says b'moyadoi, the also ben Yisrael tapesas b'moyadoi. That means afilu b'tuma, afilu b'shabbos. That a korban shezmanu kavua. The moyada means usually say a korban sibur. Korban sibur is derech shabbos, and a korban sibur is derech tuma. And the Mishnah says in the beginning of the second parak in Tumor, that's not exactly accurate. It doesn't really depend on whether it's Karbon Tzibur or Karbon Yochid. There are several Karbonis Tzibur that are not Deicha Shabbos and not Deicha Tumor, and there are several Karbonis Yochid that are Deicha Shabbos and not Deicha Tumor. It really depends on a different Nekuda. A Karbon Shezmano Kavua, you have to bring the Karbon today. And if you didn't bring it today, over Yom HaBatul Karbonoi, usually that's a Karbon Tzibur. Minimum of Sofim is Zmano Kavua. If you don't bring the carbon today, it's over yom, a bottle of carbon. So a carbon shezmanu kavua is deicha shabbos and deicha tumah b'mayadoi. Mayada means that it's manu kavua, it's deicha shabbos and deicha tumah. If it's a carbon she'ain's manu kavua, which is usually identical with the carbon yochid, guy has to bring a chatos, guy has to bring took a neder to bring an oilo. The woman is a yoleda, she has to bring a carbon. She brings it whenever she has a chance, she brings it. So usually, 95% of the time, the Karbanis Tzibur are Zmanu Kavua. The Karbanis Yochid are usually not Zmanu Kavua. Once in a while, it's not so. If you have a Par Halam Davishal Tzibur, that's a Karban Tzibur, that's not Zmanu Kavua. You bring it when you have a chance. The Brendish, you don't have to bring it today. Bring it next week. And once in a while, you have a Karban Yochid, which is Zmanu Kavua. The Par Kain Gadol on Yom Kippur has to be brought on Yom Kippur. Parachatas Hashaloi, the Kohen Gadol pays for it, it's his korban. And it's Dechi Yom Kippur because it's Manu Kavua. If he doesn't bring it on Yom Kippur, he lost the chin. Or the Chavita Kohen Gadol, every day of the year, the Kohen Gadol brings Minchas Chavita. That's a private korban. Somebody says he has to pay for it from his own money. They have to give him enough salary that he should be able to afford to pay for it every day. But he has to be paid for it. Not allowed to have the Tzibur pay for it directly. The Kohen Gadol, they have to salary the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol pays for it from his own money, so that's his Zayin Korban. He's the Bala Korban, it's the Korban Yochid. And that's the Decha Shabbos and it's the Decha Tumah. That's the Korban Shezmanu Kavua, even though it's a Korban Yochid. So the Gemara says, no, he has to pay for it. It can be brought by a Kohen Hedya. He doesn't have to do the actual Hakrava. He just has to be the Bala Korban. The Korban is offered on his behalf. Right, if he's tummy, someone, even if he's not tummy, anybody else can bring. Right. It doesn't have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Just he has to be offered on his behalf. Right. So just like it says, Rosh ben Yisrael tapesach b'moyadoi, b'moyadoi means afilu b'shabbos, afilu b'tumah. So it says, v'shilach v'yad ish iti, iti means bizmanoi. V'yad ish iti, afilu b'shabbos, afilu b'tumah. Even if it's ish iti, even if it's Shabbos and he has to carry, let's say, the Sarah Mishtalech is tired from walking 11 mil. The Yishiti is also tired. But the Yishiti has no bearer. But the Sarah Mishtalech gets tired. He doesn't want to move. So what do? He has to carry the Sarah Mishtalech. Usually you say, Achayna, say, Satsma, Machloik is Hatanayim. But you say, Achayna, say, Satsma, and Behemoth are only on human beings. So usually you say, Achayna, say, Satsma is not a problem. But if the animal is obstinate, it's not going to budge, then you don't say Achayna, say, Satsma. Let's say, Sarah Mishtalech says, I'm not going any further. Yeah, that's it. He sits and he doesn't want to budge. Chayla. The chayla. Like kofus. Chayla. Doesn't want to work. So the Yishiti has to carry the Sarah Mishtalech to the sukkah and throw him over. It's permissible to carry even if it's a Rishus Rabin Deraisa. He's allowed to carry. And I feel the Betumah, even if, let's say, they designated an Yishiti on Erev Yom Kippur and got the golf and he becomes Tumah. So what do you do? If the Yishiti dies, he dies. So what do you do? He can't take Hakbet here. He can't push over the cliff if he's not alive. He can't do it. So you get someone else. But what if he becomes Tumah? So the din is no. He does it Betumah. He walks into the Azara Betumah, he shiti afilu Betumah, like the Mayada, afilu B'shara, afilu Betumah. He walks into the Azara, the Kangaroo gives him the Sarah Mishtalea, and he takes it to the Midbar, and he pushes it over the Tzuk. So the Shita Mukobetsis is, on the side of the Gemaris and Kachim, they have printed Shita Mukobetsis on the side, and then they have in the back, the longer paragraphs on the Shita Mukobetsis. So this is a Gemara in Temurah, where they developed this whole idea, Ishiti afilu Betumah. So the Shita is a Kasha. Why is it necessary for the Yishiti to enter the Azar in a state of Tumah? Let him stand outside of the Azar and he comes on, let him shikim and say, Mishnah. Well, it's not going to run away. You tie it up and you give it to someone else to take. He has to take it in person. So you see from the Gemara that yes.
To hand it over.
You see that the Kangodla has to hand it over in person to the Ishiti in the Azara because it's considered, that's what the Rav pointed out, it's considered the Shilach, the Ad Ishiti Hamidbora, the Kangodl's Avaida. Pushing over the cliff, that the Ishiti is avoided. The Ishiti does that. The Kangaroo doesn't do that. But from leading it from the Azara to the Tchilas Hamidbar, which was 3 million, it says in the Chumash that that is done by the Kangaroo Ayidei Shluchai, Ayidei Shliches. The Ishiti is his Shliach. So he has to do the avoided in the Azara. And the whole time the Ishiti is walking to the Tchilas Hamidbar, the Kangaroo has to remain in the Azara because the Kangaroo didn't finish his avoided yet. A very strange idea. When the Ishiti reaches the Tchilas Hamidbar, then the Kangaroo finished his Avodah, then he's allowed to leave the Azara. But Kozman, that the Ishiti is still doing the Shlichus, after he reaches the Tchilas Hamidbar, then he goes weiter, the 11 million to the Tzuk, that's the Ishiti's function. That's not the Kangaroo's job. But to reach the Midbar, that's considered that he's doing it on behalf of the Kangaroo. The Pele digs into a Babel of Salavet, he gives a Moshe Lamad Avodah, it's a very strange thing. The Rambam quotes the Mishnah, and he adds on a little bit, which does not really say in the Mishnah. When the Kangaroo goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur in order to be Machta the Ktores, so he puts the Machta, Malah Machta Gachleyesh, he has burning coals on the Machta, he puts it on the floor. There's no Mizbech in the Kodesh HaKadosh, there's Mizbech HaKtores in the Hechel. But he puts the Ktores in the Kodesh HaKadosh, there's another place to put it, so he burns it on the floor. So he puts the Machta with the Gachleyesh on the floor, and then he throws the Moloch off and throws on the daka. He takes it out of the calf again, and he puts it in his fist, and he throws it back onto the Machta, and it burns. So he puts the Machta on the floor, he throws the Ktoris on, and he goes out. So the Rambam says, not so fast. He has to stay in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ashi Yismali HaBayis Kulay Oshon, and after it's Yismali HaBayis Kulay Oshon, then he can walk out. What does he have to wait till it's Yismali HaBayis Kulay Oshon for? It's going to be Mishmah. Well, he has to supervise to make sure that it happens. Let's say he sees that it's going well, and he has asthma or whatever, and he's going to start choking and coughing, whatever. He wants to leave now. He saw that it's going to be Mishmah by explosion. Mm-hmm. He'll peek through the peacock. He'll peek through the window. No. The Rambam says he has to stand there. That's what Rav Elveloy wrote in his letter to Rav Soloveitchik. He thinks that that's the pshat. The Avaida of the Haktoris is not completed until Achi Yismali Abayis Kulay Oshon. And even though the Kangaroo isn't doing anything, he's just standing there. And everything happens automatically, but in the Mela, by itself, That's considered the Gemara of the Avodah that the Kangar did. So the Kangar has to be oimed in the state of Amida, in the Makam HaKosher, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, until the Avodah becomes the Gemara. So that's the Mashal to this din also. Kangar has to stand with the big Dekuna in the Azara for over an hour and a quarter, till it's a Giyah Soil Amidbor, and then he's allowed to leave the Azara. He's not allowed to leave the Azara, and he used to link Kriyas HaTorah in the,
after
he used to link Kriyas HaTorah in the Ezra's Noshim, not in the Azara.
Right.
So he can't, so he cannot leave the Azara until he Giyah Soil Amidbor. So he stands there for an hour. It's a very interesting thing. That's why in some Chassidish Akilis, they have a minig that Bedavka, you have a pause of an hour in between Musaf and Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha, Zechel HaMikdash. Because in Beis HaMikdash Gufa, there was a pause of over an hour in between the Shiluach HaSoyer LeMidbar and the Kriyas HaTorah. It's not the same Kriyas HaTorah, because the Kriyas HaTorah that Kangodal does was a one-man show with one Aliyah, and that was Akrei Mois. And we lay down in the morning with six Aliyahs with the Hesop of a Master. And by us, we lay to Mincha the end of Akrei Mois. It's not the same at all.
Tainus. It feels a Tainus.
Yeah, yeah. It's really the Torah's Tainus the way we hold, right? So it is really not the same. But in many Kehillahs in Europe, they write in the Torah, they used to have such a Kfeda to make a Zechel HaMikdash, to have an hour pause. To have an hour pause in the middle of Yom Kippur, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to have this pause.
Simply,
Sawyer had to go such a great
distance. Sawyer Lazar. Do we know, was there any food or incentive that they gave the animal
to follow? That they gave the animal?
Yeah. I mean, it's a long distance.
Over 3 hours.
Right. I mean, were they allowed to...
Yeah.
Feed it?
A lot of feed it. I don't. The Mishnah doesn't record that. The Mishnah records that they used to offer the Ishiti food. They used to say Hari Lechem. Somehow they're not worried about the behemoth. Some of the behemoth for sure. The behemoth did eat the food. The Mishnah just says they used to offer the Ishiti food, and he never took it. So what did they offer for? Because if you have pasta saloi, then he feels okay. Then he's not going to chalash. So it says they always offered. It says if he really needs it. Says if the Ishiti really needs it, then he's permitted to eat it. So that's the machlokes of Rishonim. What do you mean if he really needs it, he's permitted to eat? If he really needs the food, he holds it, he's going to chalash, he's going to drop dead. So because nefesh is decha, that's what it means. That's how Rashi learns. And the Rambam says no. He feels that he needs it, hotnish genug koyach, to go 3 hours. He's not going to die. He can stop over here, but he's just, he needs a Hershey bar. He needs, what do the boxes do? They have oranges, whatever. Yeah, he needs a drink. Okay. So the Rambam has a chiddush that if he feels that he needs it, otherwise he can't reach the tzuk. He's also allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. How does he get that? That's how the Rambam learned the Mishnah. How did the Mishnah get such a din? The din is that because nefesh is deicha Yom Kippur. Why is it to be able to do the hakrovas on Kabbalah is also deicha Yom Kippur?
But the bunch of kohen good, he couldn't continue.
Also, according to the Rambam, also, let's say he's exhausted and he can't continue,
right.
We would permit him to eat on Yom Kippur in order to complete the avodah. It's very interesting. The Rav Soloveitchik used to say from his father that the Rambam is lishitosar. That the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Shvisas Osor writes that the Kedushas Hayoyim that Asas B'malocha is the same Kedushas Hayoyim that's Mechayiv in the Inuyim. So since the Halacha says you're permitted to do Malocha on Yom Kippur in order to do the Avodah, let's say you shech the Korban. Shechita is a Malocha. You do Havvara, you're burning logs, and you put the flesh on, you're burning the flesh. And he's going chutz l'tum, and he may have to carry the behemah on Yom Kippur, and even if it falls on Shabbos, he has to carry. So he's doing malach. They're doing malachas right and left. Malachas that are necessary to complete the avodah. So just like the kedusha sayan of Yom Kippur with respect to malachas, muta b'makam hakrovas hakarbonis. So it's the exact same kedusha sayan that asas the inuim. So he's permitted to eat also for the sake of hakrovas hakarbonis. Just to emphasize it, the Rav's family, they used to give wild mishalim, zilde mishalim. They say Rav Chaim is an expert also giving. The Rav is also an expert making wild mishalim. So he said, I think Rav Chaim or his father had a mashal. Let's say there's a bris on Yom Kippur, and the only moil in town is an alter shvach yid, and he doesn't have koyach. Hamila does not have koyach to do the bris unless he has a Hershey bar, unless he has some orange juice or something. So the bris itself is a malacha, and the mila bizman is derech yom kippur. So just like it's derech yom kippur to do a malacha, it would be, according to the Rambam, it would be derech yom kippur to eat also. Mm-hmm. If he needs koyach in order to do it, if he doesn't eat, he won't have the koyach. So that's also muta. It's the zelvik dusha sayayim. He said, as is the malacha, is same kedusha sayayim, is mechayv and einui. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. In the beginning of Hilchos Shvita Sot, when he quotes the dinim of yom kippur, so it sounds like Shabboson. Shabboson, Mikra Kodesh, he says, Shabboson, Lishbos bin Malacha and Lishbos bin Ha'inui. So the Rambam puts it together. Rambam's
what?
I don't remember. The Magen Mishneh writes not so. Magen Mishneh writes, when the Rambam quotes the din of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes as a whole machlokes Satanoim, what is the marker of the institution of Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yontif and Tosefes Yom Kippur? So the Rambam leaves out the whole din of Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yontif. He only quotes it in one place, Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So the most of Mechol HaKodesh before and after Yom Kippur, but for now, Uli Achrei doesn't quote Tosefes by Shabbos or by Yontif. So there's a whole machlokes Achrei, what does the Rambam hold? He holds that the obligation to have Tosefes Shabbos and Yontif is only the Rabbanon. But he doesn't mean write that it's in the Rabbanah. So he means to say, you're not Mechayiv at all, but if you're Moisif, it's Chal Min HaTorah. But he doesn't say that either. Maybe he means if you're Moisif, it's Chal Min the Rabbanah, but he doesn't say that either. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't say there's a Chiyat to be Moisif Mechayil Al HaKadosh outside of Yom Kippur. So the obligation to be Moisif Mechayil Al HaKadosh Lefanel Acharei is there Isa. By Shabbos Yantar, he doesn't say there's a Chiyat to be Moisif no Chiyiv, there Isa no Chiyiv, there Rabbanah. He doesn't say that it's Chal Min HaTorah, he doesn't say it's Chal Min the Rabbanah. From the Rambam, it sounds like it's not even Chal. Even if you want to be Meisim al HaKadosh, Michal al HaKadosh is not even going to Michal. But on Yom Kippur he writes, on Yom Kippur, the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah to be Meisim Michal al HaKadosh with respect to the Inuyim. So the Magen Mishneh writes a comment on the Rambam, he thinks only vis-a-vis the Inuyim, not with respect to Malach. With respect to Malach, Yom Kippur is the same as Shabbos and Yom Kippur. But there's no Chiyav Tosefes. The only thing that's different, that's unique about Yom Kippur is the Inuyim. So it's only a din of Tosefes with respect to the Inuyim. And the Makevis HaMishneh, which is a Chibur on the Rambam, but one of the later Gedolim, one of the Polish Gedolim, is the Rabban Chelme. Not Chelme, it's Rabban Chelme. So he, Mishneh Berurah always quotes, and the Makevis HaMishneh wrote a Sefer on Aruch Chaim also, and Mishneh Berurah quotes him all the time. Shulchan Atzei Shlomo. So he writes on the Rambam, he thinks that this Magen Mishneh is not right. It doesn't make any sense, Doctor. What do you mean? Tosefes on Inui and not Tosefes on Malacha? It's the Zelvet Dusha Tayyarim. How can you split between the two? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to say. He thinks that the Makevis on Mishneh is right over here. It doesn't make any sense. Even though the Rambam says you should be Moshe Mechol HaLakodesh with respect to the Inuyim, he never said a word with respect to the Malachas. But it's what the Rambam writes explicitly. It's the same Susha Sayyam that's Mechayiv in Malach, is Mechayiv in Inui. The Rav has a famous Vatora on the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim, but you have to know Mishnayis for this. It says if you look in Mishnayis Tomid, it says that they had the four Payasas every day, and the first Payas, 14, there were 14 winners. Who does the Shechita Satamid, who does the Kabbalah Sadam, who does the Halacha Sadam, who does the Zrika Sadam. Who's marked it is, the head and the foot and the left foot and the front leg and the back leg, and shine. 14 people won. And it says, and then all day long they're dividing up the Aveda, and it says, this fellow goes and he does his job, Ishtachav over Yotso. He bows down on the floor and he leaves when he finishes. Every person, it says 10 times, Ishtachav over Yotso. He does his Shtachva and he leaves. So they have from the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, quote from the Gur on the side of the Mishnayis, where does it say that in Tanakh, that you have to be Ishtachav over? That whoever does an avoda has to do ishtachva. So the quote from the Vilna Gaon, it says it by Bikurim. So the Vilna Gaon says it's not a din in Hilchas Bikurim, and Parshas Kisov, it's not a specific din in Bikurim. It's because you bring Bikurim in the Azorah, so kol hanichnasim la'azorah have to be mishtachva before they leave the Azorah. So from this Parsha Bikurim, we learn that any time anybody brings a korban, any time a kohen does an avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, he has to be mishtachve before he leaves the Azor. So the Rav pointed out, you learn Mishnah's humor from the beginning to the end. It says every step that the Kohen Gadol does, he goes here, he goes there, with the right leg, with the left leg, and he does a mikveh, and he does that.
No,
it never says Hishtachva. A whole day long he's there. Doesn't do any Hishtachva. Halodobahu. How come he doesn't do any Hishtachva? Very strange. In Talmud it says every single person that does any little avodale, Hishtachva v'yotza. And it says, and it goes to the end of the day. And it says he changes his suit and he puts on his yontav dika malbushim and they walk him home and they sing and they dance. It says everything. And it doesn't say hishtachla. What happened to the hishtachla?
Who's asking that?
I don't know. It says when the kangaroo says the shema first, then everybody has to be hishtachla. How come the kangaroo doesn't hishtachla? Just because of the fact that he's what are the nichnasim lo azar? Everyone is nichnas lo azar lavaida. Everyone is different. The Hamayinam will come to the Azor. They don't have to be Mishtachla. They didn't do an Avodah. Unless they hear the Sheman first, then they have to be Mishtachla. But the Kohen Gadol is doing the whole Avodah. So how come he doesn't have to be Mishtachla? He just did an Avodah. So the Rav had a Chiddush Niflo. He thought that this general din, that Kol HaNechnasim LaAzor LaAvodah have to be Mishtachla before they leave, cannot apply. He thought from the Mishnah, from the Stima Divya Mishnah, he thought it would appear that it has to apply to everybody other than the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur for the following reason. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, not only does he have to do all the Avodah, he has to do the Avodah in a specific order. And then it says, the Yotzo, Uvo, and the Chumash it describes, he goes from here to there, he goes from there to there, and the Gemara in Chulin in the first Perek seems to say that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to enter and leave in a normal fashion. Let's say he'll stand on his, he's a Canadian. Let's say he's a young guy Canadian. So he'll do the Avodah, and then he'll stand on his hands, and he'll walk in or walk out. What do I care? Well, he'll walk through the window and come the other way. Instead of walking out from the Kodesh HaKadosh in a normal way, he'll walk out through a window, walk out through the ceiling, if there's an opening in the ceiling, then he'll come in a different way. So from the Gemara in the first Perek in Chulin, the Rav pointed out his mashma that it's no good. He has to do the Avodah in order, and the link from the first step to the second step has to be halicha. He has to walk the Yotza kind, the Vua kind, he has to go from here to there, from there to there, from there to there. Every step of the way is charted out by the Chumash and Parshas Achrimot, and it never says he does Hishtachva. So if he'll do Hishtachva, it'll be a violation of the Seder Asiyas Kol HaMaisim on Yom Kippur. That's the Chiddush that he suggested. So there are greater Chiddush, but I thought that it's Kemat Mufurish and a Gemara, Mishnah is like that. There is a Gemara in Yumen, a man. Gemara in Yumen comments on the Pasuk, special din on Yom Kippur, V'chol Adam, Lo Yiyah, V'yor Moreh, B'voy L'chapa B'Kodesh, Ad Teita, when the Kohen Gadol, from the time the Kohen Gadol enters, Ben Hula V'lam Mizbeach, till he leaves, no other person, V'chol Adam, no other, no Kohanim, no Yisraelim, no one's allowed to, even Malachim are not allowed to be. This is Yishanim quotes Yishanim. Chol Adam, there are Malachim who are called Adam. Chol Adam, even Marbe, Malachim are not allowed to be. What do you mean? Malachim, like, didn't tell Malachi Asheris. What do you mean? Malachim are forbidden to be there. What kind of Malachim is that? Anisar are the Malachim to be there. Those are Pelet. There are Moshe Soloveitch, he gets that once they're Abchaim. What do you mean? Chol Adam, Leah goes on Malachim. The Torah is Mitzava, Malachim, and Anisar. So he said, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik suggested, maybe what it means is, it's not an Isser on the Malachim, it's a Tanai in the Hechsha HaAvodah. If you can ascertain that there was a Malach there, the Avodah was puzzled. No one may be there at the time. Not, it's an Isser. It's not from the Minyan Alavim. It's a condition. No one should be there because if someone is there, it's going to be puzzled. That's what he suggested to Rav Chaim. So they say that Rav Chaim answered, he thinks that's correct, but he thinks, Od Yesh Leimer, that on Yom Kippur, I don't know what this means, that on Yom Kippur, it's shayach to have tzivuim for Malachim. I don't know what that means. That the Pasuk could mean, Allah says that a Malach is Zayv HaNisar if he's there. I don't know. Anyway, but the Pasuk says, V'chalad Maliyah, V'roi L'chapa B'Kodesh Ad Teisa. No one is allowed, leave out the Malach. No one is allowed to be in that part of the Azara, from the time the Kohen Gadol goes into the time that he leaves, and the Gemara says explicitly two things. Number one, not only when the Kohen Gadol does the Haktoris, Haktoris, Lifnai, Lifnim, even before and after. The Voyal Achapa Bakoydish At Seisa, from the time he enters into the Hechel, to the time he leaves the Hechel, from the time he enters the Hechel, it's going to take another half a minute till he. It'll take a few minutes till he gets, till he puts the machs on the floor, till he puts the ktoris back in Moloi Chofim, till he pours it on top of the machs. It's going to take a while. But nonetheless, the din applies from the time he enters the Hechel till the time he leaves. That's one Gemara. Then on the same daf in the Mem, it's Mem Hechel, the Gemara has another statement that this din of Chaladim doesn't only apply once a year on Yom Kippur. It applies every day of the year. Whenever a Kohen Hedyor goes into the Hechel to be marked the Torahs on the Nizbah HaTorahs, no one is allowed to be there in the Hechel at the time that he's marked the Torahs. These are the two Gemaras in Mem Dalet, I think. So there's a Sefer Malbushe Yontif. Malbushe Yontif is one of the very few Achreidim that Rav Soloveitchik used to quote from. The reason being, he used to be a Rav of Chaslavich before the Rav Slavich. The Rav Soloveitchik was the Rav of Chaslavich. That was his first Rabbanah. So before him, a while before, not immediately before, was this great Goen who wrote the Sefer Malbushe Yontif. So he has, in the end of one of his swami, he has a correspondence with one of the other big Rabbanim, Ablozer Moshe Hurwitz, on the following kasha. The Mishnah in Talmud describes the daily routine in the Beis HaMikdash, that they would have a pious who has the schut to be makta diktoris in the Mizbah HaKtoris. And every single day, the Seir HaDram would be, the two Kohanim would baglate the Kohen who's going in to be makta diktoris. True, they would disappear before he does the HaKtoris, but they were there when he was in the Hechel. So that's what they asked, what's going on? The Gemara says that the din applies all year long. And the Gemara says that it applies not only at the time that he's actually makted the from the time that he goes into the time that he leaves. And the Mishnah describes the Masech HaTamah. This was the daily routine. They violated it every single day of the year. They used to have two Kohanim Baglet. One carried Gecholim and one carried Ktoris. They carried, helped them carry all the things. And then they went away before he was about to makted. How can it be that every day they violated the din? So I thought that the way the Rav pointed out, this kasha will be miyushal. The Rav explained that the entering and the leaving before and after you do the avodah all year long, that's irrelevant. It's just the hechatim of the alma. You can't do the avodah unless you go in. If you want to walk in on your hands, you want to fly in by helicopter, go to a window, there's no tehek. We don't care how you come in. On Yom Kippur, there's a din. The knisa with the yitzia, with the halicha, every step of the way is part of the seder atzias hayom. But that's what I thought, that the din that the Gemara says, that no one is allowed to be there, bishas, hakrovas, haktoires, that applies all year long. All year long. But the din, from the time that he enters the Hechel, till the time that he leaves, even before he does the avodas, haktoires, haktoires, that can't be all year long. There's no chavashem of going in and walking out. That din only applies to Yom Kippur, where every step of the way, the kneesis with the yitzir, every step of the way is part of the Seder Asiyas Karamayt. That's the Gemara in Chulin in the first paragraph. That the Gemara says that the Gemara sounds like it says to Feirish that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to enter and leave Kederach Halichosai and Kederach Yitziyosai. If he goes in an abnormal fashion, so the Avodah is not going to be kosher. That's only a din on Yom Kippur, that every step of the way is part of the Seder. But all year long, there is no such halach. The Mishnayos say when the Kohen Gadol is, he has to go to the mikveh five times because he puts on big dekuna five times on Yom Kippur. So it says every time he gets out of the mikveh, it says, Olav in his tapik. He dries off with a towel. Olav in his, Olav means he gets out of the mikveh in his tapik. So the Achronim is, what, his mother tells him, dry off well so you don't catch a cold. What does the Mishnah have to say? You have sechel, so you dry yourself off, don't catch a cold. What's the significance of mentioning that? So the Chidah in Hilchas Tefillin quotes the Mishnah Melech who says, no, it's a halachic statement that if he doesn't dry off the droplets of water, it'll be a chatzitza in between the big dekuna and the body. And if you have a chatzitza, it's like he's not wearing big dekuna. So the Chidah in the Birkei Yosef quotes Achreinim that who are the nami for Tefillin? Let's say someone goes to Mikveh in the morning before he goes to Dam. So he's going to have droplets of hair in his water, droplets of water. And his hair, he's going to put on the tefillin, so the droplets of water will constitute a chatzitza. Because the Rishonim learned that all the Hilchas Chatzitza by tefillin from the Hilchas Chatzitza and the second Terebin Zlochem by Big Dekuna. Everything is based on the Gemara thing. So if you see from this Mishnah, all the men is stopping, you have to dry off your hair, you have to dry off his body, not to have chatzitzas. The word dinami, by tefillin you have to dry off. That's what the Chidor quotes from Achraim. Others tainted that they don't think that that's correct. There's a Sefer Mikdash David, Rab David Rappaport. Rabbi Akiva David Rappaport, he was a descendant of Rabbi Akiva Eger. And he was a young man, and he put out a Sefer Tzemach David, Heoris on Shuvas Rabbi Akiva Eger. And Rabbi Chana Wasserman never met him, and he was so taken by the Sefer, he hired him to give the top shir in his yeshiva on top of him, sight unseen. He never met the person, he just saw the Sefer. He was so swept off his feet. So then he came to give the shir. So he was disappointed. Number one, he found out he was a single bachur. He wasn't married. And number two, he stuttered. He stuttered. They couldn't understand. It took months and months till the Talmidim understood what he was talking about. And he wanted to fire him. He wanted to drop him from the yeshiva. So Chaim Oizer and Rabbi Chana Wasserman were brothers-in-law. They were married to two sisters. They married the daughters of the Shavuot Rav. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer told him, it'll straighten out. They should keep it. So he stayed on in the yeshiva. So this going, Rabbi Akiva Rappaport, later he published from Migdash David. Migdash David is on Kutchim and then on Groyim and on Tarik. He learned in the Kerlum and Slabotka. And he said the Chok was, he says, they learned Kutchim then. And he says the first 2 years they didn't understand one word what was going on. They couldn't make out head to tail. Finally, after learning for 2 years, they learned the third year. Finally, they broke through and they began to understand. And it was a Chok in the Kerlum. The rules were, they're paying you money to learn, that you have to write all the Chidushin Torah that you come up with. So he wrote long essays, like encyclopedic essays, not all Chidushin. He just put together all the information in Kutchim, puts together all the Mishnayos and all the Gemaras and everything, and then as he goes along, he drops Chidushin here and there. So in his, one of his Torah, Migdash David, he quotes this discussion about Olam in his topic. The fact that Akasha, there's one place in Mishnayos where it says Olam in his topic, and he's not wearing any big dikun at all. A place where he's not a kohen at all, and it still says all of them is tapet.
You can't say that.
You can't say it's a dinah chatzitza. It's a big dechol. So, well, what kind of story of chatzitza is there? So he comes up with a different chiddush. He quotes a mishnah in Chagiga, in the third parak in Chagiga. The mishnah says when a person goes to mikvah, mikra din deraisa, there's no need for kavana l'shem tahara. If a person falls into the mikvah, nidush enenta, a woman fell into a river. As long as they're not chatzitza, so they said the tefillah that you don't need kavana. But with the rabbanon, there's a din that by kachim and by truman, you have to have in mind. You have to think that you want this. And if a kohen was tovel in order to eat truman, then he decides he wants to eat kachim, he has to be tovel again with the rabbanon. And if he was tovel in order to do kavanas, and then he decides he wants to participate in making a paradum, he has to be tovel again with the rabbanon. He needs special kavanas. So the mishnah says there in Chagiga. And what if the kohen was tovel? No kavana, he just fell in. And then he comes out of the mikveh, and then he says, oh, gevald, I want to eat truma. So as long as he didn't dry off yet, it's considered as if the whole din is only a din of the rabbana. The whole din that can eat kavana. So it says in the Mishnah, as long as he didn't dry off yet, it's considered as if he's still holding in the middle of the people. And he suggests that based on that, it would appear that the drying off is a gemara of the tefillah. It's considered a gemara of the tefillah. So he says that maybe that's why it says all of it is topic in the Mishnah.
That's what he said.
Yes. The Mishnah say that the Kangodl on Yom Kippur, you're not permitted to pronounce the Shem Amforash outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It says in the beginning of Chumash Mo, Zesh Mili, Yodam Zesh Zichu the Dor Dor. Look, Hashem Shani Nichta, Vani Nikra, the Ksiva Zut Kevavk, and the Kriya Zalot Dalet Nun Yud. But in the Beis HaMikdash, it's a mitzvah to pronounce the Shem Kiftov. So the Gemara says in Kiddush and Dafayim that every day of the year, when the Kohanim Duchen, to say it in the Beis HaMikdash, they always said the Shem Amforash. The people wouldn't hear it because other Kohanim would drown out the Shem Amforash by singing Nigudim. That's probably where the minig comes from. When we Duchen, we have a minig that the Kohanim sing a Nigin in the middle. What were they singing a Nigin for?
To prevent the Hatzik from it. Even he once said that they are singing by, tune.
Shouldn't we shock the Ligmas Kula? The Mishnah Brewer has that, yeah. There's a problem. He says, Yibarach Hashem. And then he waits 3 minutes till he says Yishmech. He could have finished the whole thing. Baruch Hashem Yishmech Yar Hashem Panim Adach Yitzah Hashem Panim Adach Yasmu Chalshon. Could have finished the whole duchening in that pause that he waits. So the Mishnah Berurah raises an issue of Shohak De Ligmas Kula. That is like a hefsek. So the Mishnah Berurah says if they sing a nigun, it's not so big. So the nigun makes it that it's as if it's still saying a hemshech. So it's not considered Shohak De Ligmas Kula. But others suggest. Others suggest a little differently. They say, well, I want to say it's a Zechel HaMikdash. Because the Gemara says in Kiddushin that Other Kohanim used to be Mavliya v'Ne'imo. He used to sing a niggun to drown out the Kohanim who knew the Shem HaMeforash. Not everybody knew. Only Yechidim would be moister the pronunciation, the correct pronunciation, to the next door. So they didn't want everybody to hear the Shem HaMeforash. They used to drown out. So usually all year long when Yiduchim Beit HaMikdash, there was a group of Kohanim who would pronounce the Shem HaMeforash Tichtovei, but the Hamoinam wouldn't hear it. So nobody bowed down. It doesn't say everybody's Kareem Mishtach HaMoiden screams of Baruch Shem Kuchon. They didn't hear the Shem HaMeforash. But on Yom Kippur, nobody's drowning out the Kangol. So it says that everybody in the Azara heard. It says even, the Gemara says, even in Yericho, they can hear the Kangol say the Shem HaMeforash in Yericho. So a very strange Gemara. They could smell the Ktoris in Yericho. It's very strange. All the way from Yerushalayim to Yericho. How can it be? So they arrive it on Tomid, on Masechus Tomid. It's a Pirish on Yuchas. It's by someone else, not by the Ravid. So he writes that he heard a Pikabola, that it doesn't mean from Yerushalayim to Yericho. He says, no, only in the Beit HaMikdash and in Yericho. He says that Al-Pikabola, Yericho was the first place to be conquered in Eretz Yisrael. Yericho first. Yericho was the first place to be conquered in Eretz Yisrael. And because it's Reishis, it was the first place, that should have been like Reishis is always the Truman of Bikurim, that should have been the Makom HaMikdash. But the Rebbeinu Shem already chose the Har Moriah. But because it should have been, because it was the first place to be conquered, so it's like a branch of the Beit HaMikdash. There are shuls that have branches. So you can smell the Ktoris in the branch, because that's where it should have been. The Ktoris should have been there. You can hear the Shem HaMeforash only in the Azara and in Yericho. In between you couldn't hear, I didn't scream so much. In Yericho, that was the branch that was piped in over there, Alpina. So the Mishnah says that on Yom Kippur, no one was drowning out the Kohen Gadol's voice. So whoever heard the Kangol say the Shem HaMeforash would be Kareh Mishtach Lamoide, and they would scream out Baruch Shem Kvar Malchusa L'Yonavoy. The Gemara says it's based on the Pasuk in this week's Seder. Kishem Hashem Ekro Chavugodol Olakenu. When you hear the Shem HaMeforash Tichtovoy, you have to give a Shevach. So the Shevach consisted of, they would bow down and they would scream out Baruch Shem Kvar Malchusa L'Yonavoy. The Rashash points out on that Mishnah that he saw the Balabatim in Vilna. The Rashash was the president of the Rosh HaKol in Vilna. So he says he saw many, many Balabatim he thinks are doing it wrong. He says they kneel on the floor, then they get up, and after they stand up, then they scream, Baruch Shem Kvar Malchusa L'Yonavoy. He thinks that you have to scream Baruch Shem while you're kneeling on the floor. You have to say the Shevach at the time that you do the Yishtachvoy. It shouldn't be Bezeach HaZeh. So the Rav used to point out, and they have in the Oitzer HaTzilus, they have this from Rabbi Shaya Berlin, the one who wrote the Hagos on the side of the Gemara. And all the brackets on the side, that's from Rabbi Shaya Berlin. He was a contemporary of the Nadi Yehuda. They had shuvahs to each other. So he said, so he has the following Ha'orah. The Loshen HaYerushalmi is the Krovim Hoyu Mishtachavim, and the Rechokim only said Baruch Shem Kvar Malchusa L'Yonavoy. Who are the Krovim? Who are the Rechokim? So the Yerushalmi doesn't explain. So the Rabbi Shai Balin and the Rav picked this up. They said like this: we say Hakohanim Ha'omdim Ba'Azora, or Kohen Mishtachim Lodim. So he says Ha'omdim Ba'Azora is the definition of the Krovim. Whoever was in the Azora would be Koreya, plus would say Baruch Shem Kvar Malchusa L'Yonavoy in a state of Kriya. Because Yishtachvoya, to kneel, is only a Kiyam and Mikdosh, like the Don Gaon said. And the Yishtachav Yisrael, Lefnei Hashem Elokecha, by Bikurim, he said, it's not a Din of Bikurim, it's a Din Kol HaNichnasim Lo Azor, Lo Avaydo, have to be Yishtachvoya. So Yishtachvoya is only a Kiyam and Beit HaMikdosh. When we do Yishtachvoya now, it's only Zechel HaMikdosh. The Kiyam and Yishtachvoya is only a Mikdosh. So those who were in the Azora, Kolam Hom Din Bo Azora, those are the Kroidim, they would be Mishtachva and say Baruch Shem in a position of Mishtachva. The Rechaikim means the people who were not in the Azor, but they heard the Shem on Feirosh, let's say the people in Yericho. Or the women who were in Ezras Noshim, and Ezras Noshim was never in the Scottish Kedushas Azorah. So there's no Kiyam in the Harabais to do Mishtachva, because they would only say Baruch Shem Kvar Malchusa L'Yonavoy. That's what the Rav mentioned. He said when he was in Eastern Europe, he didn't remember that the women ever bowed down by Kairin. And he says when he went to Berlin, it's the first time he ever saw that the women started to bow down. So he started to wonder, how come we didn't do that in Eastern Europe? How come the women didn't bow down? He started to wonder, which is, why no? What is it all about? So he thought, maybe because in the Beit HaMikdash, the women never bowed down. Because the women were always in the Ezras Noshim. Because the women used to sit. Yeah. They gave the women a break that they should sit. If you're in El Zohar, you can't sit. And Yeshiva Bazel, Malkin Bazel, the Mubar. Whoever's in the Ezra Snoshim can sit, because the Ezra Snoshim had only a Kedushas Harabais. Didn't have a Kedushas Hazar. Yeah. So the women were a Chaykim. So they only said Baruch Shem, Korei Mechusim Yomvod. They were never Korea. So he thought that maybe the Minig Bizman Azeh is to do a Zechel HaMikdash the same way they did it in the Beis HaMikdash. So the women were never Korea in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe that's why in Eastern Europe the women never bothered to be Korea, because there's no Zechel HaMikdash. The women, he didn't say it's an Issa. He just said that he understands why in Eastern Europe they never have such a prayer. Right, there's a lot of fascinating things that are pointed out. No? We should say the say. You have to prepare the say the avodah before Yom Kippur. Otherwise, you rush through it, you won't understand what. You have to learn the Mishnayos, and then you have to look in the Machzor. Understand what you're saying.